This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير وبعد. In these middle 10 nights of the blessed month of Ramadan, we come across an interesting challenge. In the first 10 nights, there is an energy of excitement. Everybody is receiving the guest of Ramadan with a lot of aspirations and hopes. And we know as years pass, the last 10 nights are also filled with a similar energy to find Laylatul Qadr. May Allah Ta'ala give us that night. And everybody is excited to finish the month strong and to celebrate the glorious day of Eid with their families and friends. But the middle 10 nights of Ramadan oftentimes get overlooked as a filler in between the two major sections of the month of Ramadan. In fact, classical scholars have even written about, you know, hundreds or even a thousand years ago, have written about the phenomenon that we identify as the mid-Ramadan slump, that in the middle days of this beautiful month, we tend to find our aspirations and our himma dwindling and waning a little bit, and we see ourselves returning back perhaps to some of the mistakes and the behaviors that we found ourselves promising ourselves that we would leave off at the beginning of the month. We see ourselves maybe falling short on some of the commitments that we've made. You know, it seems like everybody that I've spoken to in the last few days, I've been traveling a little bit, everybody says, I'm a little bit behind on my khatam, on my Quran. I'm a few pages behind, I'm a few juz behind, etc. So this is normal, that we find that these middle 10 days are the 10 days where we have this grind and this difficulty that we find in terms of our motivation. But subhanAllah, if you read about the goal of Ramadan and what we're trying to achieve in the first place, what you find is that Ramadan is less concerned with making us people that find that one miracle, even though it might be the night of power. And Ramadan, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, is more concerned with making us a people who discover the miracle of istiqamah, of consistency. Ramadan is a regimen, a program, a plan that allows every person who participates in the month to feel what it's like to be consistent with your iman and with your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because anybody can fast for one day. Anybody can pray for a couple hours one night. But how many people will be able to do this for 29 or 30 days over and over and over again? You see, when we think about a miracle, we think about one big event. But our tradition, the Islamic tradition, teaches us that what's truly miraculous is that somebody is able to do something for a very long time. I mentioned one time the story before of the sheikh who his students were complaining that he doesn't perform any miracles. He doesn't walk on water, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. And the sheikh said, you're right, but one thing that I do, I have been able to accomplish, is one miracle, and the students were excited. They were maybe hoping to hear something almost like, you know, fantasized, out of this world. And the sheikh said, for 40 years, I have never missed Takbiratul Ihram for the prayer in the masjid. And his students, upon hearing this, they started to cry because they realized that the aspirations and the goals that they had were completely misaligned. It's not about being able to do something great or magnanimous one time, but it's about being able to be consistent. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah that I quoted, he says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Remain steadfast. Stay upon, do not waver. Upon what? Upon what you have been commanded to do. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. And Allah ta'ala also includes, and this is a beautiful piece that we'll talk about later, and those who repent with you, وَلَا تَطَغَوْا. And do not overstep, and do not transgress, إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware, can see every single thing that you do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also taught us that if a person wants to achieve paradise, it's not about finding the one miraculous night, although we know that that night is very important. But we'll talk about how that works, inshallah, with regards to consistency. The key to paradise is about being able to repeat and do the same thing and find pleasure and sweetness in the routine of your faith. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru fa innahu lan yudkhil al-jannata ahadan amaluhu. That he says, do these three steps. Number one, stay on the course, saddidu. Stay on the path. Don't waver. Don't get distracted. All of this is referring to being a consistent person. And I feel like, subhanAllah, when the Prophet ﷺ gives us these simple guidelines, sometimes we overcomplicate how to practice and how to pray and how to follow the religion. The Prophet ﷺ says what? Saddidu. Just stay on the path. You don't have to get concerned with this or that. Just make sure that you're doing your deeds. وَقَارِبُوا. And as a result of that, He says that you will be drawn near to who? The scholars say to Allah, because Allah loves your consistency and you feel it now. Day number 12 of Ramadan, day number 13, 14. You're going to feel in this middle 10 days, for those of us who can keep up, may Allah Ta'ala give us that. You're going to feel now like these are the 10 days where you're being pulled close. And you're starting to see, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, that the lines will start to decrease. And the attendance will start to wane. And those who stayed until 8 rak'ah, that number will get smaller. And as you remain steadfast, you will feel that alhamdulillah, that Allah has chosen me to get close to Him. Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and then also give glad tidings. Be that person that can remind others, that can give people the motivation around them to stay firm on the course. And then he says something beautiful. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ. Because a person will never enter paradise. أَحَدًا. Not a single one of you. عَمَلُهُ. Because of their actions, because of their deeds. You see, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is not to see that we have this resume. You know, on Jannah, on the day of Qiyamah, when we enter and we're seeing our status with Jannah, may Allah Ta'ala give it to us easily. Many people think that they're going to be able to pull out their resume, you know, like load up their LinkedIn. Allah, look at all these references I have. Look at everything I did for you, Ya Allah. That's not how this works. Imam al-Ghazali, he quotes a narration from the Bani Israel, where he says that Allah wanted to test one of his servants. And this person worshipped Allah for 40, 50, 60 years. And so Allah sent an angel to that person. Listen to the story, it's incredible. Allah sends an angel to that individual, that worshipper, who has been worshipping Allah for decades. And the angel is given one task. That task is to tell this person this exact story, basically. You're not going to enter paradise. Your deeds will not give you Jannah. And this person, upon hearing this, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you just finished praying 20 rak'at for 30 nights. And then you're sitting here in the masjid on the last night and you're feeling hopeful and optimistic and you're feeling grateful that Allah has given you the chance to pray to Him. And all of a sudden an angel comes into the masjid and says, you're not going to Jannah because of this. What would your response be? You know, some of us maybe would have the thought cross our minds, may Allah forgive us, we'd say, what did I do all this for then? Why did I do all this? So this man, he responds with the most beautiful response. The angel says, your worship for those decades is not going to give you paradise. And the man, he says, we worship Allah because that's what we were commanded to do, and I'm going to continue worshiping Him because that's what I was made for. And the angel returns back to Allah. Allah asks the angel, what did my servant say? The angel says, oh Allah, you know what your servant said. Allah is asking even though, and Allah does this, by the way, when He wants to hear because He loves that response. Allah says, what did my servant say? The angel said, yeah Allah, you know. Allah says, tell me. The angel says what? He said that he would not give up worshiping you regardless what I told him, because this is why he was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let it be known that since my servant did not turn his back on me, I will not turn my back on him. And he will enter paradise. Not because of the deeds, but because of the attitude, the consistency, the commitment. Oh Allah, it doesn't matter how many years I've prayed or how many years I've fasted. I'm doing this not because I'm trying to build a score. I'm doing this because this is what I'm made for. I'm doing this because this istiqamah, this consistency is what gives me a relationship with you, Ya Allah. And what is the purpose of life without a relationship with Allah? And so Allah Ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah, gives us that beautiful hadith. Now, there are some myths about istiqamah, about, you know, consistency and steadfastness that I want to address today that are really important. Because one of the ways in which shaitan gets us to not believe in ourselves and give up early and quickly is he makes us feel like we have failed from the start, that there's no way you can succeed if you're not doing these things. But I want to share with you some narrations from the Prophet ﷺ that build a framework to understand what it means to be a person of istiqamah. Number one is that istiqamah is not about quantity, it's about quality. Many of us read the narrations of people who finish the Khatm of Quran, You know, I saw a fiqh question today that made me feel horrible about myself. I was doing some research, and I saw a fiqh question, and the scholar was asked, is it permissible, listen to this question, is it permissible to do a khatam in one day? I said, man, I already hate this person asking this question. Is it permissible? And the sheikh, you know, he kind of jokingly answered. He said, it's permissible if it's possible. But the reality is that we read these stories. Imam Shafi'i was able to finish a Quran in 3 days. So-and-so finishes it. And you may have seen this even in the modern era. You may have met scholars that can finish one whole Quran. Meanwhile, there are some of us that it takes us 3 hours to finish one juz. Do we automatically now, are we disqualified? Are we a people now that we can't? Because how can we keep up with Imam Shafi'i? Can you imagine on the Day of Judgment, Imam Shafi'i, how many khatams he did of Quran and Ramadan, and then me, here's little old me. Ya Allah, I struggle to read. And subhanAllah, it's an important note to keep that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that for the one who reads Quran with beautiful fluency and smoothly, Allah gives them a reward. But for the one who stutters and stumbles and makes mistakes and comes back and has to keep going over the same line over and over again, they get double the reward of the first person. And the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars, when they unpack this hadith, they say what? Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. They say that the reward that you get is from the body of work that you put in. Don't look at the person to your left or to your right and compare about their quality or their quantity. Just look at your quality. That's it. Focus on what you can do and where you can remain consistent. Abu Huraira, he narrated that there were two men from the tribe of Kuda'a. This hadith is one of my favorites. It's actually super remarkable, subhanAllah. They embraced Islam, these two people, and some of the narrations say that they were actually related. They were friends or they were brothers. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave them their shahada. They took shahada with him. They became Muslim. One of them instantly was martyred in a battle. And we know the reward of the shuhada. We know the reward of the shaheed. Instantly, before their body even touches the ground, they are automatically appreciating and enjoying the pleasures of the divine heavens, that they are with Allah, that they enter Jannah with no hisab. May Allah Ta'ala give this reward to all of our brothers and sisters in Gaza who are being continuously onslaughted by the Israeli occupation. Ya Allah, uplift this oppression from them, Ya Allah. But we know the reward of the shaheed. So one of them, after accepting Islam, was martyred immediately. The other one actually lived for another year, and then he passed away. So Talha, radiallahu anhu, he had a dream one night. And in his dream, he saw the two friends, the two brothers, and he said, I saw Jannah in front of them. And I saw the one who was a shaheed, who was martyred, and I saw the one who lived a year longer, and I saw the one who lived for that 1 year walk into Jannah first. It's interesting, because you think the shaheed, it's automatic, right? Alatul. He says, no, he walked into Jannah first. So even Talha, he became confused, because everything we know about the shaheed and the shuhada is that they're in Jannah straight away. And that, yes, this person lived for a year, but there's no way, what could he have done in this year? What could he have done in this year that gave him the ability to compete with the status of a shaheed on the Day of Judgment? So Talha, he goes to the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I had this very troubling dream. It's confusing me. The Prophet ﷺ says, what was it? He explains. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he responds with Alaysa. Alaysa is the Prophet ﷺ saying, almost like, what do you mean this is confusing? He's responding like questioning the fact that this person's confused. He says, Alaysa qad sama ba'dahu Ramadan? He says, when you think of the person that entered paradise first, of course he's going to enter paradise first. Did he not fast an entire month of Ramadan? Why? Because that consistency of 30 days of dedication to Allah is something that we don't realize how beloved it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a person is struggling to achieve these massive ranks of their deeds, don't forget that what you are doing this month, day in and day out, it is making you so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the companions, the rule that they had for consistency was this. They would only focus on increasing if their quality stayed the same. They would only focus on increasing their ibadah if their quality stayed the same. If their quality did not stay the same, they would actually consider even lowering their amount of ibadah. There's a narration. I don't want everyone to take this too seriously, right? I'm sharing with you. I'm trusting you. There's a narration where there was a companion who said that we used to shorten our prayers. We used to shorten our prayers so that لِيُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا, so it would feel light to us. Because these companions, while there were some companions like Mu'adh, okay, who could lead, you know, one, two juz in two rak'ah, there were some companions that were probably more like us. And they struggled to stand there for a long time. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one time he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi salam, in two rak'ahs, he finished Surah Al-Baqarah. In two rak'ahs. You know how long that takes us in Ramadan? Two nights. Right? Two nights. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished it in two rak'ah. Mu'adh prayed with him. Then Mu'adh went back to his people and he started to pray and he copied the methodology. And the people praying behind him, they were like, I'm out. And they left the prayer. They were praying and they're like, why is he praying so long? And they just said, salam, salam, and they left. Mu'adh, he looks at them and he says, Antum munafiqun. You're clearly hypocrites. Who leaves the prayer? Who hates the Quran? Who this, you know? Are you serious? So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reported, because they were complaining. They said, Mu'adh, that imam, he prays too slow. He leads too long. And Mu'adh was like, are you seriously making me feel guilty for reading the book of Allah? And now we can imagine, what would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The Prophet, we could imagine him saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you guys, you don't enjoy the qira'ah of Qur'an, you don't enjoy the recitation, but you know what he does? This is one of the few narrations that we have where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually became furious, so upset, to the point where his skin changed. And the vein in his temple appeared. And he says, Fattanun, Fattanun, Fattanun to Mu'adh. And Mu'adh, by the way, who is he? We have another narration. He says, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. He's the only companion that we have where he, unprompted, looks at Mu'adh and says, I love you so much. The companion said, when we heard that, we became jealous. Why didn't he say it to me? But on this narration, because he's worried about what? You're breaking people's istiqamah by putting too much on them. Fatanun, you're testing them. Afatanun anta ya Mu'adh? Are you trying to test them and see if they can keep up with you? You want people to walk away from the prayer being like, maybe I'm not from those who can pray? Lam nakum min al-musallin, subhanallah. So he's rebuking his student, Mu'adh, for making quantity more important than quality. I want us all to think about our Ramadan. What is more important? What are we focusing on? What are we encouraging our kids to do? What are we encouraging each other to do? What culture has bubbled to the surface? Is it about quantity or quality? May Allah Ta'ala give us good quality before we focus on quantity. The second myth about istiqamah is that istiqamah does not mean that you won't feel temptations. A person who's consistent also feels temptations. One time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took his finger and he was sitting with his companions in the sand, and he drew a straight line through the sand. And then off of that straight line, he drew many branches, right, in different directions. And he told his companions, he says, this is the straight path. This is the straight path. هذا سبيل الله. This is the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مستقيماً. This straight path. Follow it. Stay on it. And then he pointed on the branches that he drew, and he said, these are the paths of the shayateen. And he says, upon everyone, there is a shaytan that is calling you towards him, that is trying to divert you. You see, sometimes we think that this whole istiqamah thing, it doesn't work because if it did, I would stop having temptations. But that's not how this works. Shaytan, his goal is to particularly attack those people that do have consistency. He wants to see you break your pattern, your routine, your regimen. Shaitan loves it when we have the cheat day after dieting for 2 weeks because he wants to see us lose the ability to stay disciplined. And so if a person is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim and they're going, they need to expect and prepare that shaitan is going to place a trap for them every few steps along the way. And the only thing that protects us in that moment is our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, istiqama does not mean you don't make mistakes. We make mistakes. Istiqama is that a person, when they make a mistake, they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu was asked one time, who is more beloved to Allah? The one who never sinned or the one who sins and returns back to Allah? Who's more beloved? The one who never sinned or the one who sinned and then they made tawbah and came back? Umar, he said, without a doubt, it's the one who sinned and came back. So the person became confused. They said, yeah, sure, tawbah is beautiful and Allah forgives, but how can that person be better than the one who never sinned? Umar, he said, do you know how difficult it is for a person that has that desire and falls into it to come back to Allah? It's way more difficult than the person that never had that desire in the first place. And so consistency is not about, oh, once I've made a mistake, I'm done. No, it's about returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment that you've made that mistake and calling upon Him. That's why in the ayah earlier, Allah says what? فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. Remain steadfast upon what I've told you to do and those who repent with you. Repentance is a part of istiqama. May Allah ta'ala make us those who are repentant. And lastly, we'll finish here. That istiqama is one of those deeds, remaining steadfast, that opens up doors to other deeds. You know, we think to ourselves, I have so many goals this Ramadan. I want to give this, I want to do that, I want to pray this much. And we think to ourselves, I have to do all of them. And we think I have to approach all of them at once. But actually, what the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us is that there is a tartib, there is a sequence. Aisha, or Ibn Abbas, sorry, he narrates that the Prophet ﷺ kana ajwad an-nasi. He was the most generous of all people. This is a famous hadith. People know this hadith. He was the most generous. Wa kana ajwadu ma yakunu fi Ramadan. And he became even more generous in Ramadan. But what's interesting, subhanAllah, is that later in that narration, Ibn Abbas, he says that the Prophet ﷺ would meet Jibreel every night and he would go over the Qur'an. And he says, while he read the Qur'an with Jibreel, فَيُدَرِّسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, then he says, فَلِرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدُ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He says, as a result of that recitation of Qur'an, fa in the Arabic language means so, the Prophet ﷺ became more generous in his giving. As a result of the recitation of Qur'an. You see, sometimes I saw all the brothers here, mashallah, and the sisters too, I'm sure, reading the Qur'an. Sometimes we separate these things and we think, you know what, I'm going to read my Qur'an and then I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do this. Imagine, this hadith is telling us that your recitation of Qur'an is the key that's opening up the doors to other good deeds. But if I only if I'm thinking about it as I have to do this and then I have to do this and then this, we're going to get lost. There is an order, there is a sequence. Your consistency will allow you to open up the next door to the next deed, which will allow you to keep going on that path. And then you're going to look back at the end of the month and you're going to say, I don't even recognize myself anymore, in a good way. You're going to say, I can't believe that I started the month just making a commitment to read one page of Quran a day. And now I'm reading a few pages a day and I'm donating and I'm volunteering and I'm spending time with my family and I'm this, this, this. Why? Because the Quran is the miftah. It is the opener to all khair. And that's why he said, Ibn Abbas, he said, the Prophet ﷺ would read the Qur'an, and as a result of that, he would become even more generous. May Allah ta'ala open our hearts towards generosity. May Allah ta'ala make us those who in this 10 days we find istiqama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the success and the acceptance of this beautiful month of Ramadan, our prayers, our fasting, our charity, our recitation of His book, and all of the good deeds that we do. أُقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihil Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you one narration It's actually the beginning part I shared with you earlier, but this is the end part of it. If you remember, when the Prophet ﷺ gave that command, saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru, and he said that none of you will enter paradise by their good deeds alone. In the second part of that hadith, he shares a very beautiful line. And he says that, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلَّهُ. He says that the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those which are consistent, even if they are small. Brothers and sisters, I want us to leave today's khutbah understanding something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not like us. Allah does not need the presentation and the drama and the extravagance to be impressed. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more impressed by His servants from the things that they do outside of the vision of people, the things that they do, the small deeds that they keep consistent outside of the perspective of others, then He is impressed by the things that we do in front of others, even if they might be greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when we do small things to keep them as a part of our daily life, to make sure that we never neglect them, so that we can promise to stay connected to Him. And this Ramadan is a chance for us to commit to the culture of doing things for Allah every single day, even if they're not the most fantastic and the most magnanimous. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those that are the most beloved to Him. We ask Allah ta'ala to make us those that are most consistent in our deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our shortcomings and to answer our prayers and to answer the prayers of our brothers and sisters around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path and to not let us fall prey to the temptations of the paths around us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to follow the example of His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah ta'ala to give shifa to those who are sick and to forgive those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give justice and freedom to those who are being oppressed. Our brothers and sisters in Palestine, our brothers and sisters in Sudan, our brothers and sisters in Burma, our Uyghur brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters all throughout the world, Ya Allah, that are seeking Your aid, O Allah, give them Your aid, Ya Allah. O Allah, we are unable to fix their situation on our own. We need You, Ya Allah. Please, O Allah, fix their situation, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and allow us to be a relief for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة